If you'll turn with me to Luke 10, I read a few of those verses this morning, but we're going to go through a little bit more of this. We'll just get you there, and I just want to read something that I found. A man wrote about what a missionary is, or it's been said. He said it's been said that that being a missionary is not for the elite. And Ian, I need to put my glasses on. So. Now I look a little more like you. Not as old as you. 60s, is that what it is? for the elite, you need not be a professional. It is not an exclusive club, private fraternity, or social clique. The bold and the beautiful are welcome, but the humble and the homely will be in charge. Jostling for power or position is counterproductive and will not be tolerated. Feeling not as important or not as useful is a lie. There's only one entrance fee, the same for all, and everyone has the exact same ability to pay. It's simply your all. Once you give your all, prepare to be transformed. You will be renewed, set free, forgiven, adopted, and blessed, and then you will be sent into danger with nothing except this transformed self and a new companion. Sent into possible rejection, possible pain, possible situations where you will love and work and have your heart broken and your work discarded. Once you are transformed, you are sent. No other options or alternatives. Once you are transformed, begin to find out what it really means to be alive, fully, completely, wholly alive. The things you have gained in this transformation are not things to make your life nice and easy, but are tools to be used in rewarding work for eternal value. The mission is for everyone. And as we look into God's Word today, I want you to know that God calls all who are His to do His work, no matter where you are. As I went through this passage and was reading through this, it just really spoke to me. God here is, or Jesus is using 70 of His faithful followers, as I mentioned this morning. And there's some really interesting things in here, and I'm just going to go through those. Just 5 points that I want to kind of go through tonight. But let me just kind of read through this chapter with you. I'm going to read through 1 through 11, and then we'll skip down to verse 17. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs amongst wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoe, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways and out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. We'll go down to verse 17 here. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. I just want to open in a word of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just be with us tonight, Lord, as we look into your word. We just pray that you would just shine your light on us and just show us from your words how you have called each and every one of us that believe in you into a mission field wherever we're at. And we just pray that you would just teach us some things in your scripture tonight. We just pray these things in your name. Amen. So we're going to look at 5 different things that I have in my outline tonight. First is going to be who is called to missions. Second, the instructions given, and there's a few instructions in here. Why would anyone say yes? And the message of the mission, and then what is our part, or what is the challenge that we have through this? The first thing that we have here is pray. And, you know, God calls all of us to pray for each other. And, you know, pray for the hands in the harvest. One of the things that you know, as I talk to other missionaries, they all say that they are praying fervently for more hands out in the ministry. Because, you know, they're the ones that are there. They're seeing those people that they're trying to reach, and they're not able to reach them. So they're praying for more hands for the harvest. And, you know, God calls us to pray for each other, pray for each other's ministry in our hometowns and wherever we're at. And so, you know, that means that this mission is for all of us. But in the beginning here, he sends for 70 faithful followers. And this morning I mentioned that, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about these 70. It doesn't go into a whole lot of detail. To me, that was comforting. To know that, you know, God will use his followers for his work. It didn't have to be, you know, somebody of great stature. So it's very comforting to know that God will use all of us for his glory. Sorry about that. So as we move down and through here, the harvest is great. It's truly great. You know, as I read through this, you know, I thought to myself, the harvest, you know, the harvest fields, you know, where did these harvest fields come from? Who prepared these fields? You know, Jesus is the one that prepared the fields, and he's sending out us to work those fields. I don't know if some of you have maybe worked in factories or had employees working for you, but, you know, a lot of your success, maybe as a manager, is based on your people. The success of your people, the work that's accomplished through those people. You know, it's comforting to know that this is God's field and he's calling us into his field. And it's comforting to know that God's in control, not us. We're just the workers, we're the laborers going out into that field. I have lost my spot here. So we know that the 70 were called to do God's work. The instructions that were given to these was to pray for more hands and for more laborers out into the field. We read in verse 2, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And to pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his field." And communication here is very important. Prayer is part of our communication with God, and prayer is very powerful. You know, as we, you know, I have to relate to my past experiences in manufacturing. And, you know, as I said, when you have people that work for you, it's very important that you're communicating. And we didn't create that. We didn't invent that communication. Jesus instructs us to pray. And have that communication with him in order to be successful for him in reaching the lost. The second instruction that I've noticed is here is go. Go your ways. Here in verse 3, Jesus is giving the instruction to go. He's not giving an alternative. He's not asking these 70, well, who's ready to go? Or, you know, are you all set? Or, you know, you need a little more time? No, he's not asking that. He's instructing them to go here in verse 3. Jesus is giving the instruction to go. He's not giving any other alternatives. The third instruction that I see in here is to depend on God, depend on him. There's some danger and there's some dependence that we have to rely on for God, and that's where our prayer and communication come in place, and we have to rely on him. In those situations, I'm a big hunter in the States. I like to hunt. And I had a friend of mine that had just gotten back from hunting in Colorado. And they were actually elk hunting there. And they take horses and they backpack up into the hills there. And he just went up there and kind of saddled or parked his horse way down a little bit and walked up further into this valley. Found this beautiful pine tree and sat under this pine tree and was just kind of glassing the fields, you know, just had a beautiful view And he'd seen some elk way off in the distance, you know, not near close enough to shoot at. But he was watching them, thinking, oh, maybe they'll come this way. They didn't. And he saw a little brown spot way off to the distance there and thought, oh, it looks like a bear. So he kind of kept watching it. And, you know, this is a grizzly bear area. Kind of kept watching it, and that was kind of moving towards him. But way off, and he thought, oh, I've got plenty of time. And so, you know, he's sitting there and just kind of glassing around. And he says, just enjoying my day. And you know, had some prayer time and some devotional time while I was there. And he noticed that this bear had actually come closer and closer to him. And as he was sitting there, he thought, boy, this would be really neat if it actually came close enough for me to kind of get a good look at this thing, maybe take some pictures. And lo and behold, you know, this thing actually does come pretty close. And he's just sitting there under this tree, and he thought, whoa, this is getting pretty close now. I mean, it's a couple hundred yards away. And a grizzly bear, I'm not sure if you know, but a grizzly bear, they say you can shoot a grizzly bear several times, and it will continue to charge. And most times it will land on top of whatever it's charging. So, you know, this is all in the back of his mind, and he's thinking, boy, what am I going to do? And he's starting to get a little nervous, and so he says, well, Lord, you know, he says, you know what? You know what's going on. What's the plan for today? And he sat there and he thought, well, I'm going to take a shot and just shoot in front of it, knowing that a grizzly won't typically go down. So he took a shot in front of it. The grizzly bear stood up on its hind legs, took a little sniff in the air, came back down on its front legs, and took a couple steps forward. And he's like, oh boy, what have I done? You know, he's now sniffing and wondering where this is coming from. They have very bad eyesight. So he's sitting there and he thought, well, if it keeps coming, I'll take another shot. And it did. It kept coming. So he took another shot at the ground. This time it ticked the bear off a little bit. And you know, that bear kind of did one of these, whoa, like this. And then just took a big old swipe out of the ground and probably a big, nice divot out of the ground of grass. So he's like, oh, no. He says, I think I've done it. He says, I think I'm done. And so he's sitting there and he thought, well, if this is the way I'm going to go, I couldn't go in a better way. You know, I'm out here hunting and I just love hunting. I'm here in Colorado and this is just a great way to go. You know, he's telling me the story and I'm thinking, this is not a good way to go, you know. But obviously he lived, you know, he's there telling me the story. I thought, this is how's this going to turn out? You know, I'm thinking he's telling me a story, but it's real life. And so he says, I sit in there and he says, I took one more shot. He said it was probably 50 yards from me. And he says, I took a shot at the ground and he said that bear just did the same thing. And he said, it just mouth, you know, you see on TV, the bear like this, you know, he said that thing just went like that again and took another big divot out of the ground and just started running right at him, just a dead bolt straight at him. He said, you know, of course, I don't have a whole lot of time. I put my gun in my lap. I closed my eyes and I said, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. He felt this wisp and he said, opened his eyes. Lord, I thought I was coming home. And he looked around and there was no bear in sight. He said he thinks if he stuck his hand out, he could have touched it. But that's danger and dependence. And, you know, living for God, we're gonna face things in our lives that we think are impossible, things in our lives that we don't know if we're going to make it through. And we have to depend on God to see us through those times. The other thing that I just want to mention in here is that just another comforting thing in God's Word is that He sent them out two and two in verse one there. You know, God, Jesus knows us and He knows how we are as humans. He knows that we get discouraged. He knows that there are times in our life where we need a pick-me-up from somebody else. And to me, you know, my wife is going with me, my family is going with me to Thailand, or at least my son. And to have my wife there, you know, someone that can support me and be with me and be a part of the ministry is amazing. And I just, you know, I can't think of a better person to have with me. But, You know, God knows us. He knows who we are. He knows what we need in our lives, and He knows that we need that encouragement. We know that we need to trust and depend on Him. Like I said, that dependency often comes when there's danger. That's when we want to depend on God the most, is when that danger faces us. But we need to remember that we need to depend on Him for everything. You know, and He's telling these people, these 70, that they need to depend on those homes that they're going into and depend on those people to provide for their needs, their daily needs. He didn't ask these 70, you know, to go home, pack your bag, you know, load up your donkeys and your trailers and with some food and extra clothes and all of those things. He didn't ask them to do that. He asked them to go and depend on Him to provide for their needs. So we need to make sure that we are asking Him and relying on Him daily for the things in our lives. Often when we face those times in our lives, you know, we do get discouraged and we wonder what we need to do and where we're going to go and how we're going to deal with this. And often it makes us wonder why we want to say yes to missions or why we want to say yes to doing God's will. But I can tell you that the importance of the mission outweighs that danger. Getting God's word out there, God's message out there to His people, way outweighs any danger that we can go through. I shared with you this morning about the missionary or the evangelists that come to the farm there and want to learn Bible. Their main goal when they come to that farm is not to learn the agricultural part. Their main goal is to come and just hear some of God's word so they can take it back to their village. They want to be fed spiritually, and we provide for both their needs, both physically and spiritually. But they know the danger that they face. As I said, many of them, almost all of the believers there that I met had all had a time in prison and jail, and some in worse cases and situations than others. But, you know, as we go through this, and verse 17 is a praise verse, you know, and we look at that, and those 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." You can't get that kind of joy, with just a daily job. You know, you're not going to find that kind of joy in, whatever you're doing to provide, money for the means and the things that you have in this life. That joy can only come through working with God and making sure that we are depending on Him for our daily needs. And that joy fills us like nothing else. God is the only person that can fill us with that kind of joy. And we can only get that when we serve and give to others and seeing them transformed and changed. And there's no greater joy than the joy that comes from knowing God has worked through us to make eternal differences in others' lives. When we go there and we see these people in these countries and they're coming in and when we do have the opportunity to share God's word, you see a different person. You see somebody that genuinely is there for God's word. They're genuinely there to listen, to take in. They're soaking this stuff in. They are a sponge, and they're just soaking it in. And what a joy it is to see God work and to see Him have people in this world that are willing to suffer, you know, and willing to be bold for Him and their country. And to do those things. So it's important that we are willing and able to get out of our comfort zone at times and do and serve for God. But we know that the message doesn't change, right? The message doesn't change at all. The message of the mission simply is found in verse 9. "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." There's no other message. It's the same. It's the same whether it's accepted or rejected. Verses 10 and 11 say, "But into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways. out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But we know that in order to explain this, we have to go to the cross, right? We have to be willing to ask that for that forgiveness. We have to come to the cross, and we have to be willing to believe in the death, and the burial, and the resurrection. And then we can be transformed. So what is our part? What is the challenge that we have? We know that when we study the New Testament, it's clear that when we respond in faith to God, we are sent. We are able to be His witness, His representatives, and His hands and feet. So how will you respond to your Lord and your Savior? It's only something that you can answer. You need to wrestle with it in your own life. You need to look at what's going on in your life, the area that where you're working, the people that surround you, the friends that you have, those circle of friends that you have. And you just have to wrestle with that in your life. You have to get to that point and come to that point where you realize that that is the mission field that God sent you to. And you have to get over the fear and the danger of being a part of that mission field that he's got you in. You have to get off the bench. You have to get into the harvest field. Who knows what God will have you do or where He might send you. The danger you might face, but you know what? That's exactly what God wants you to do. That's the danger He wants you to face at that time. That's what He wants to bring you through. God's mission is for everyone. The importance of the mission does outweigh the danger. And the results are life for the dying, hope for the hopeless, strength for the weak, significance for the wanderer, and purpose for life. As a believer in Jesus, you've been sent and you've been entrusted with the message that God is near. So hopefully you guys took some of that to heart, and you'll help us pray as we go into this mission field for God. Pray for strength for us as we're on pre-field ministry as well. The Bible classes that I have to take, my wife actually has to take one as well, and she's been to Bible college, so she still has to take a Bible class as well. There are other requirements that we also have to meet as well as we go through that, but that in itself is a mission field for us. I mean, that is something that we have to go through. It's something that, for me is somewhat of a fear, but it's what God wants me to go through and what I need to go through in order to be successful for God. And my goal is that I am successful for God. You know, I'm not here doing this for me. But it's for God, it's for reaching people for Him, for bringing others to a saving knowledge of Him. And so just pray with us, like we have our prayer cards back there, and if you'll take one and just pray for us, if you think about it every month, just to lift us up to God. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You, we thank You for Your words, and we just know, Lord, that as You save us, Lord, You call us. And You call us into the mission field where we're at. Sometimes You call us into a mission field overseas. We just pray, Lord, that You would open our eyes and our minds to those fields around us and those fields overseas, and that You would help us to be willing and able to do Your service. And that regardless of the fears that we have and regardless of the dangers that we might face, that we might know, Lord, that Your mission does definitely outweigh those things, Lord, that we fear. And we know, Lord, that we can come to You and we can trust in You. We can communicate with You. We can rely on You. We can depend on You to bring us through those trials and those things in our lives that we face each day. And that there's joy that we can have in our life knowing, Lord, that we are serving You to the best that we can. So just pray that You'd be with us tonight as we go home and as we go back to work and other things that we're doing this week. Just help us to think of You. Help us to think of where we're at and to realize that that is our mission field where we're at. So help us to be witnesses for You, Your hands and Your feet. Just pray all these things in Your precious name. Amen.